Welcome to Blue Line, the podcast hosted by Blue Line, Canada's only independent national magazine for law enforcement. You've tuned in to hear compelling conversations on hot topics and trends with law enforcement professionals and personalities from across Canada.
This episode is brought to you by Patriot One Technologies, whose mission is to deliver innovative threat detection and counterterrorism solutions for safer communities. Patriot One's PatScan multi-sensor covert threat detection platform identifies and reports weapons and threats wherever required, from car park to building approach, from employee and public entryways to inside facilities. Learn more at patriotonetech.com. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Blue Line, the podcast. I'm Renee Francker, the editor of Blue Line magazine. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we have in studio with us Jim Bremner. He's the president and founding member of the Canadian Tactical Officers Association, or CTOA. CTOA is a nonprofit organization. It's directed by the needs of Canadian tactical officers and frontline law enforcement. Jim was a member of a tactical team, a bomb squad, and he has over 30 years' experience in law enforcement. He is qualified as a sniper, weapons technician, tactical trainer, and use of force and firearms instructor. He has provided instruction and seminars for various police, military, EMS, and security agencies throughout North America, as well as overseas. He also has more than 30 years of extensive martial arts and unarmed combat experience. And in addition to the tactical training, Jim lectures on the subject of post-traumatic stress disorder, and he's co-authored Crack in the Armor, A Police Officer's Guide to Surviving Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. It's a self-help guide. Jim also provides tactical police consulting for the film and television industries and was involved with the CBS CTV police action drama series Flashpoint. You might remember it. It ran from 2008 to 2012. We're going to talk more about that in today's episode. Finally, Jim has also helped forge Blue Line's new partnership with CTOA for our Blue Line Expo 2020. That's happening on April 21st. I hope your calendars are marked. Jim was instrumental in finding our speakers, and they all have a tactical focus this year. We're looking at radicalism, terrorism, as well as gangs and gang prevention. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your time and for joining us here in the office today. We are thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you got to tell me, what is new at CTOA these days?
Well, Canadian Tactical Officers Association is a conduit for training. And we try and focus on the most recent, relevant, realistic training that we have. We have the Blue Line Expo coming up. We're thrilled to be in partnership. And we're going to bring you some recent, relevant speakers, primarily on gangs, which is very topical, and counterterrorism.
Awesome. How did you choose these speakers, by the way?
Well, they're chosen because they're at the forefront, basically, of these topics. Greg Peddle was the original president of ONGIA, which is the Ontario Gang Investigators Association. And Ron Chinzer is currently out there doing great work on a weekly basis with town hall meetings in Toronto, and really, he's at the top of his field. So I couldn't think of better people in that regard for gangs. And then we have Brent Bergeron, Detective Sergeant from the OPP, and counterterrorism and radicalization are his specialty. And he's traveled the world studying the subject matter, and I think is best to present it.
Fantastic. No, we're looking forward to it, especially with, like you said, Ron's recent work with Task Force, and it's super current, super relevant. So we're excited to hear more about that. So the CTOA, you're a founding member. You got to tell me a little bit more about the history and why you saw a need for this association.
Well, there are many associations, but there are a few that are unique to Canada. Canada is a unique country, and I would suggest that sometimes we can travel and bring things back to our training that might not be as recent or relevant as they pertain to Canada. So I've had the opportunity over almost close to 35 years now to work with great Canadian professional law enforcement officers, trainers alike, and I thought, why not have a non-for-profit association that promotes these individuals in Canada to pass on the knowledge that is, again, best suited for Canadian law enforcement.
Fantastic. Can you give me an example of maybe the most popular type of training session that you offer?
Well, I would say, I mean, it fluctuates year by year because each year, if you watch the news and are up on current events, threats, real or perceived, change, and that drives course attendance. So probably within the last 2 years, you would see de-escalation is probably top of the charts, if I could put it that way. Everybody's interested in, you know, how do we deal with crisis resolution when it comes to emotionally disturbed people or mentally ill. And so that right now, I would say, be one of the most popular subject matters.
Interesting. And I know you and I were chatting just earlier about the, you know, the difference between American and Canadian audiences and the social systems we have up here. So it's kind of fascinating to me how C2A really delves into the Canadian perspective and offers a unique look into de-escalation from that Canadian viewpoint for our officers up here. Is there any other Canadian-specific specialties, would you say, that the C2A training brings to audiences?
Well, we have a course that's called Tactical Operations Winter Conditions.
Very cool.
Again, you can take a course in Florida, but if anybody has spent any time in a Canadian winter containing a home, or it's you know, it can be grueling. And so having some skill sets there that are going to help you stay warm, dry, and still perform your job, you know, are going to help. Where, again, those simple things, you just don't get it where the climate is warm all the time. And nor does your equipment function at the best of times in cold conditions. Just think of your car. On a warm day, the car is fine. It starts, it drives, the windows go up and down. And we go to a cold day and the window doesn't roll down, the car doesn't start. And that also happens to different weapon systems and equipment that people are carrying up here on tactical teams.
Very well said. And one thing I think probably a lot of us maybe don't always think about, especially as we're so used to the winter, but it does affect our equipment. And speaking of cars, I wasn't able to plug my car in when I first moved back to Ontario. I was out in Alberta. And I was thinking, oh, the one time my car dies is the one time I can't plug it in.
Well, there's just an example of a regional difference.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're a big country, right? The C2A, tell me a little bit more about how it's evolved since it started. How many members do you have now, for example?
I would say it depends. Membership, C2A memberships, we probably in the area of 300 to 400. Instagram, I think we have over 1,000 followers now. Twitter, we have a live feed on the site every day that, again, are topical law enforcement issues. Some, depending on the situation, can be almost live feed, so they're being updated as the situation unfolds. So we have, again, about 300 to 400, probably 900 to 1,000 in Instagram and in other social media platforms. We have people following. We have people joining on a daily basis as it catches on. So that encourages me to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, you've said there's a real need for it. So it's great to have something like this where people can go and get the information that they need.
Well, you said it. Canada's a big country, and you need some connectivity. And through the Twitter feed that is live, we're able to do that. So if I see something emerging on the West Coast, I can start that feed immediately. And anybody that's interested, again, in law enforcement can jump onto that and keep updated on what that situation is and, you know, how it's resolving itself.
What about challenges? Did you run into any challenges when you were establishing the CTOA, and how did you deal with those?
Well, there's always going to be challenges. I see problems as opportunities. It's my nature.
Nice.
So I put my head down and I collected great people around me that support the idea and the concept, and we just keep moving the ball forward. Sometimes the ball's going uphill, but that said, we keep moving it forward incrementally, day by day, and we are growing. There's, as I said, more and more interest on a daily basis on what we're doing. And I might point out, where it says Canadian Tactical Officers Association, if you read our mission statement, it is actually to download those tactical, the mindset, the tactical physicality, the weapons handling, the strategies, the tactics, download that to the frontline patrol officer. Because now the frontline patrol officer is first on scene, now more than ever, at very critical incidents. And so our mission, where it says tactical, it's really to download those skill sets to the frontline patrol officer.
Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, so it's not just for these SWAT team members, it's for everybody.
It's for everybody. And what's interesting, if we were to hold an active attacker, active shooter course, usually the people that fill up the class are tactical officers, but in reality, we're the last to arrive on the scene. So the people we need filling those seats are actually frontline patrol officers. So again, we're about everybody. We're all inclusive. It's not just a tactical thing anymore. It's for everybody.
I like that, especially with the intersections that we're seeing in law enforcement today. It's crucial that this is opened up to everybody and that we keep drilling that home. So great advice. I'm curious for your opinion on today's tactical officers. What do you think your biggest concern is, or are there any recent news or case studies that you want to point to that have you a bit concerned for tactical officers of today?
Well, I would say watch the news. We're seeing more gang shootings. There's no question that there's a propensity to use firearms now that didn't exist in the past. And when those teams get the warrants to execute, they have to be very concerned, probably more so than in the past. In my tenure, I'm older now, but I would say that there is a great concern that they're trained well, they understand the mission, they execute their task properly, and that they come home safe.
Very well said. Yep, we want everybody to come home safe at the end of the day. What about your advice to tactical officers, even the frontline officers we just chatted about, working on the front line today? What would be your top tip, would you say?
I'd say take your job seriously, because it can go from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour in the blink of an eye. And so your training is what you will resort to at the end of the day. So it needs to be taken seriously. You need about 4 hours a week, whether you're physically doing something or at least tabletopping or thinking about a particular situation, because they are perishable skills. So without being that professional and practicing, the future is unpredictable. Hope is not a plan.
There we go. What about in the future? What do you foresee happening next in the wider arena of tactical training and resources, technology, equipment, you name it? 5, 10 years down the road, what does the SWAT team of the future look like to you?
Well, when we talk about technology and equipment, it's interesting in that I just came back from the SHOT Show, and as you go through, from retailer to retailer, many of them, the booth, they would have a catchphrase like, shoot better, use this piece of equipment. There seems to be a rush to technology to compensate for lack of a basic skill set. So I would suggest that what we need to do is get back to basics and train people on their basic skill sets physically and mentally. And then at some point, if technology will enhance that capability, then we'll add that on. But until then, I think we have to concentrate. It's going to be a human endeavor for as long as we're doing it. It's a human thing. So if we forget that part of it, I really don't know how much technology is going to help us in doing what we're trying to do.
I love it. Back to basics. It's something I think that is easy to forget with the whole, you know, sex appeal of this new equipment that comes out. It's high tech and everything.
100%. You need it because you need it, not because you want it. And sometimes the want drives the need. And I would suggest that that's really not the way to go about it. And you have to ask yourself, again, those three questions: recent, relevant, realistic. It looks good in the commercial, it looks good on the display floor, but in my environment where I work, does that really matter to me, to us, you know, to the people that we're policing? Does it matter? And if the answer is no, then it's time, again, go back to basics. Ask yourself, it's easy to, there's a saying that a bad carpenter blames his tools. And I take that to heart, and I would suggest the same, that when we're looking for perhaps a different caliber of firearm or a different baton, we should probably go back and re-examine the plan.
Good advice. Thank you, Jim. Speaking of equipment, though, I have to ask, because I was just reading about this new Swift Shield the other day, and it's some sort of foldable shield design. Interesting stuff. So, I mean, there are so many things out there. Do you have a favorite piece of newer equipment that you want to tell us about?
Well, there's also a foldable shield made in Quebec that's called Cop Shield, that's been out for a while, from Cop Shield International. And it's unique, and it's about 6 pounds, level 3A. So that's handgun, shotgun, 3-inch magnum slug. And it's going to change a number of ways in which shields are deployed. Again, this shield is designed for the patrol officer. It's not designed for the tactical team. It's lightweight. It's very maneuverable. You can get into confined spaces with it. You can defend yourself inside your patrol car in an ambush situation. And so, the shield goes back to ancient times. It's a good tool, very popular in Europe. It's taken some time for it to catch on in North America. But there is a place for shields, 100%.
Awesome. And that was the Cop Shield you said out of Quebec.
Cop Shield is a Canadian version. I've seen some information on the shield you spoke of.
The Swift Shield.
Again, you have to examine it and ask yourself, can I use it in my environment and what I do in my daily work? I have to say that this idea that another tool in the toolbox, these euphemisms fascinate me. I know when I go to my toolbox, I use three things: a hammer, probably vice grips, and a flathead screwdriver. All those other tools in my toolbox are not relevant. So this idea that I just keep piling things up just in case, I really don't think, you know, that's, again, it's not a plan. That's not really the way to go about things. You need it because you need it.
Back to basics, right?
Back to basics.
All right. Turning the gears here a little bit more, you were responsible for training the Flashpoint cast in the handling of special weapons and choreography tactical scenes. So that's very cool. You got to tell me, what was that like? Were there any funny moments from those TV days?
Well, that was a unique experience, and that came about as a result of my personal PTSD experience. And so when I was, not with the tactical team, I had a tactical team on Flashpoint that actually helped me get back to training and helping people. And I must say that those people, I'm still in touch with them today, and are some of the most significant people I've ever had a chance to meet and work with. They were just wonderful.
Very, very cool. A little bit of Hollywood in there.
a little bit, but you know what? It's entertainment. So you have to understand that it's entertainment. So you make it look as real as possible, with the understanding at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Wise words. All right. So let's chat a little bit more again about Expo, because we are so excited to have you guys there. anything else you can tell us that you're really looking forward to about Blue Line Expo this year, or why people should stop by the CTOA booth?
Well, I think you should stop by and see three dynamite speakers that are going to be up there talking about the most topical issues that we're dealing with currently. You're going to see lots of gear and equipment that you can look at. You can talk to the vendors and see if it's right for you. So I think it's the place to be in April. You know, our major sponsor for C2A is Hudson Tactical. They'd love to have you in the booth and show you what they have. They have something called Fast Mag. It's a weapon or a mag retention system that's quite unique and new. So, yeah, those are all the reasons to be there.
Beautiful. Yeah, come on and try it out. All right. Well, Jim, if you caught any of our previous episodes, we end each one with two kind of fun questions. Give listeners a little bit of an inside scoop for your personality. So, that in mind, what is something your CTOA fellow co-founders and colleagues might not know about you?
Well, that's difficult because my life's an open book, and my book is called Cracking the Armor, and it truly is. There's really nothing. There's really nothing that they don't know about me.
It's all in the book.
It's all in the book, and I can tell you that there's some power in unburdening your, you know, secrets or whatever you know we want to call it, because then nobody can hold anything over you. If your life is an open book, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that there really is anything. Perhaps if you'd asked that question before the book, I would have had an answer, but I don't have one anymore.
Beautiful. That's just another reason for me and everybody else listening to check out this book, which is available on Amazon. I'll link you guys up on the website article. All right. Well, then last question, Jim, is the one thing that you could not live without.
My dog. Oh, that's too
beautiful.
Easy.
Beautiful answer. What kind of dog do you have?
We have a 6-month-old American bulldog, and his name's Dexter. And dogs communicate on a different level, and they're just amazing creatures. My daughter actually handles two explosive detector dogs.
Wow.
And so we're a dog family, and they are amazing creatures.
I hear you. I had a golden doodle sprawled out on me last night watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Great dog, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for coming in, telling us a little bit more about what we can expect from the C2A partnership with Expo. We are so thrilled you'll be joining us this year. And again, it was just an honor that you came in, stopped by, shared some of your stories with us. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we will see you at the event. That's April 21st. Listeners, mark those calendars for Blue Line Expo 2020 because we are aiming to be bigger and better. All the information is at BlueLineExpo, that's all one word, .com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Blue Line the Podcast. Make sure to check us out on SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us under Annex Business Media, podcasts for work. Also, check out our podcast tab on blueline.ca. Thank you, everyone, for listening, especially those out on the front lines protecting our communities. Stay safe.
This episode is brought to you by Patriot One Technologies, whose mission is to deliver innovative threat detection and counterterrorism solutions for safer communities. Patriot One's PatScan multi-sensor covert threat detection platform identifies and reports weapons and threats wherever required, from car park to building approach, from employee and public entryways to inside facilities. Learn more at patriotonetech.com.
Thank you for joining Blue Line, the podcast hosted by Blue Line, Canada's only independent national magazine for law enforcement.